This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88.
Thank you for joining us for episode 116 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm calling this episode Return to Winternacht. I'm replaying one of my favorite episodes, which we aired about a year ago this week. It was a trip that my wife and I took to Spencer, Indiana, to take part in a family tradition of my great friends, Carl and Leslie Simstrott. We'll tell you all about this holiday, but they invented a holiday just for their family to get together and reminisce and share each other's lives. And it's just been a wonderful thing. I believe this year is the 15th year. They just finished having it, and I'm so jealous. I've had to pray about that. I had such a good time last year that I was really sad not to get to go this year. But I'm thankful for the legacy and life of the Simstrott family, the entire Simstrott family. Carl Simstrott played drums and guitar and ran sound in our first group called The Fishermen. His brother Bud played bass. His other brother was my landlord and ran a wonderful bookstore in Anderson, Indiana, and we ministered together for many years. So I just want to go back for old time's sake and play this again. We're going to change songs a little bit. I'm going to put two songs in that we didn't do last year. But after these two songs, join me for our return to Winternacht.
that's ever gonna last. Last night I closed my eyes and saw a holy place. There was a stone on the ground, and I could hear a sound coming from heavenly space. It said the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And my soul cried, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. I run to my stone. Give me strength for the task. Take me high, close to Thee. This is all that I ask. Here I am, send me forth. Fields are ripe, time is short. Hear my plea. Fall on me, holy fire. Holy fire, just fall on me. Give me strength for the task. Take me high, close to Thee. This is all that I ask. Here I am, send me forth. Fields are ripe, time is short. Hear my plea, fall on me, holy fire. Fire, just fall on me. Give me strength for the task. Take me higher, close to Thee. This is all that I ask. Lord, here I am, send me forth. Fields arise. The time is short. Hear my plea. Fall on me, holy fire. Hear my plea. Just fall on me, holy fire.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
And snow it did, all night long and much of the next day. 8 inches of snow. It had been 28 years since the last time I had been in a true snowstorm. I always think of the verse in the Bible when I look out on a large snowfield, where the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Very, very beautiful to look out the door onto the fields around their house. We hunkered down for a couple of days, but on Saturday, we got in the car late Saturday afternoon and drove the 45 miles to Carl and Leslie's oldest child's house, Ty Simstrut, in Franklin, Indiana.
We're on our way to night one of Winter Nuts 2022 with my friends, Carl and Leslie Simstrut. Riding down the road, snow is everywhere, and this is a family tradition. I'm speaking to Leslie Simstrut, who was the very first guest on our show when it first started. Leslie, how many years has this been going on?
I think it's 14. I think this is our 14th year.
14 years. I don't know how to say it.
Winter knocked.
Winter knocked. Knocked. Knocked.
Knocked.
Not just like not.
Knocked.
Knocked. Yes, it ends with C-H-T.
C-H-T. All right. Why is this a big deal? I think it's a wonderful big deal, but it's been going on for 14 years. And like my grandson said, this is a really unique family. They invented their own holiday, for crying out loud.
Well, when you have a large family like we do, and everybody has in-laws and other, you know, other families to go to at Christmas time, it was becoming just more and more of a challenge to have everybody together at Christmas time without running everyone ragged. And so our oldest son and daughter-in-law came up with the idea of just starting our own holiday sometime after Christmas and before spring. And everybody loved the idea, kind of with a German theme, since Simstrut is German, and that's just what we did.
Did you ever dream it would be for 14 years?
Oh yeah, I fully expected it to continue for generations.
Generations. Okay, one last question here. What can I expect these next 2 days? I am an honorary guest this year. I've been hinting around for many years to come, and you finally relented. Mother Nature tried to keep me away with a snowstorm, but we came anyway. So what am I going to expect?
Well, a little bit of chaos and lots of good food and lots of laughter. Just family time.
Songs in German.
Yeah. I may be singing Dachshund tonight. But anyway, do you think other families should do things like this?
Sure. I mean, it's been really, really fun and unique. And I think it gives everybody a sense of just something really special because, you know, we're doing something that just we don't know anybody else that does. So I guess it, you know, it adds a little bit of a just a specialness to it. Yeah.
What does winter nuck mean?
A winter's night.
A winter's night. Well, we sure have the atmosphere for it after a big snowstorm. And let's tell the crowd how many children you have.
We have 7 kids.
Tell me their names.
Oh, you think I can remember everyone. Ty and Brett, Rusty, Carla, Wynn, Drew, and Jenna are the names of our kids.
Most of them have been born at home, right?
5 of them.
So this is an amazing family, the amazing Simstruts. And of course, Carl is a legend in his own time as the drummer of the Fisherman that had the long hair that the girls love so well. Carl, anything you want to say?
the vacation, the holiday, the family holiday has been such a hit. We love it. It's kind of the same thing that most families or a lot of families experience at Christmas time. We also draw names and exchange gifts, so that's a big part of what we do as well.
Well, it's a great family and a great night of drawing together. I got my wife here. You'd like to say anything? She says no. Okay, now on to the festivities.
Now, you may be listening to this show and wonder, why am I devoting a whole show to one family's get-together? Well, this is no ordinary family. This is one of the most close-knit families I've ever seen. It's just a wonderful thing to behold. And there's such a closeness and such a love that exists between them. They truly enjoy being together. And I wish every family could be like this. The night before we went to the first portion of Winternacht, Carl and Leslie's son, Drew, and his wife, Hannah, and their three kids came over for supper. So I had a little time with Drew and Hannah's kids, their four-year-old daughter, Elisif, and their eight-year-old son, Samuel, and asked them what I could expect. Elisif was consumed with one thought, and just about one thought only, and that was to be able to play with her cousin, Vienna. There's nothing more wonderful than having close-knit cousins. I can vouch for that. But that was pretty much all she wanted to talk about. But she was very excited that this was going to be part of the next 2 days. What is your name?
My name is Elisif.
Elisif.
Uh-huh.
And how old are you?
4 years old.
Okay. How do you spell Elisif?
E-L-I-S-I-F.
Elisif.
Uh-huh.
And now, do you know what country that name comes from?
Yet? I forget.
Me too. Do you know?
I think it's
Norwegian, maybe?
Norwegian. Yes.
Okay. So, Elisif, What is your birthday?
The weekend.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. What do we call this little thing we're going to celebrate, this holiday?
And Friday.
Yeah, but what did you call it? Winter what?
Winternacht.
Winternacht.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you like Winternacht?
Uh-huh. That's when we're going to Ty and Cassidy's house.
Okay.
And we're going to right here again.
Oh, 2 days. So what are we going to do? What am I going to expect? What am I going to get to do at Winternacht?
So we're going to Winternacht to Ty and Cassidy's, and I'm going to see my cousins.
You are? Do you have lots of cousins?
Yeah, but there's also a little one named Vienna. She's cute, and she's wearing a brown dress-up, and she usually calls her a different name.
How old is Vienna?
I forget.
Okay. So, are you going to have a good time with your cousins?
Yes.
So, what are you going to do with your cousins at Winternacht?
Okay, so I might have fun with them, draw some pictures, play games with them, okay. Like hide and seek.
Do you like to go to Winternacht?
Yeah, but I'm going to Ty and Cassidy's on Winternacht.
Yes. I know. So Elisif.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what? I get to come this year. I'm coming.
Yeah.
Tell me your name, young man. I want to hear the whole name.
Samuel Dane Lysimthrop.
No, say it slower than that.
Okay. Samuel Dane Lysimthrop.
Samuel Dane Lion. In France, it would say Lion Simthrop. Now, how old are you, young man?
8.
8 years old. I like 8. That's one of my favorite years in my life. I got a dog when I was 8. I got a bicycle. And I learned about Jesus. So now, I want you to spell this holiday, because I never can say it right.
Winter.
No, I didn't say it. I said spell it. Get back in the mic.
I can't remember.
Oh, wow. You don't know how to spell it. Okay. But say it then.
Winternacht.
And it's spelled Winternacht. Winternacht. Right?
I thought it was Winternacht.
But it looks like Winternacht.
Well, you see, it's kind of like one of those confusing words where
Well, the W sounds like a V, right?
Yeah. Like, so it's one of those weird things where the words mean different.
It's like instead of "we will walk in a winter wonderland," they would say, "We will walk in a winter wonderland," right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Do you know what language that word comes from? What kind of people? Was it English? Was it French or
German?
German?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, what am I to expect when I go to Winternacht tomorrow night and Sunday? What are we going to do? I've never been before.
Well, we're probably going to eat food, play games.
What kind of games? Baseball?
No. Like board games and video games. A lot.
Do you know what Winternacht means? Winternacht. How do you say it?
Winternacht.
Do you know what Winternacht means? In German?
No.
It means winter night.
Oh.
So you always have it in the winter, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it sure looks like winter outside now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Except the sun was out. That's not very...
Yes, funny. But what happened in the last 2 days? A lot fell from the sky.
Yeah, we had like 7 snowstorms.
It was a lot. And we just got here right when it started snowing. We drove all the way from South Carolina. We drove 700 miles to come to Winternacht. Okay, so we're going to eat. We're going to play games. What else? That sounds boring.
It's not boring. It's fun.
Okay. What else? I want to know.
Okay. We're going to open presents. Probably do some.
Did you buy me a present?
Maybe I will. I don't know.
Well, guess what? I didn't buy you one either.
Okay.
Games, eating, presents. What else? Waffles?
I don't know if Winternacht belongs with waffles.
I heard we ate waffles.
It's not a mix. It's usually autumn and waffles, not winter and waffles.
Okay. We won't eat any winter waffles.
Winter waffles?
No, winter waffles.
Winter waffles?
Okay. What else are we going to do? We're going to eat. Oh, forget the waffles. Games?
Probably going to do some family celebrations, too.
Family celebrations?
And we're probably going to do, like, songs. Like we're going to sing songs, me and Mama. And
what are you and your mom going to sing? Yippee-yay?
It's called Autism Trail. Yippee-yay.
Why don't you say yippee-yay in it?
What does that mean?
Hey, sing me a little bit of yippee-yay. No, the Chisholm Trail. You know, my wife used to live near the Chisholm Trail. Did you know that?
Ooh!
Yeah. So why do you guys have this holiday?
Because it's like a Christmas with the Samsrots.
Yeah. But you have Christmas, then later you... See, you guys, you don't know this, but your family invented this holiday. Just for you guys.
I know that.
So why am I coming to it? I'm not a Samsrot.
I thought you were.
I'm sort of one. What did they say? An honorary Samsrot. Okay, what else do we want to talk about?
What do you think?
Tell me the seven wonders of the world. You're so smart.
Okay. Yes, pyramids of Giza, Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Something in Alexandria.
Temple of Artemis. Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. Statue of Zeus at Olympia.
Right.
Mausoleum at Halicarnassus. And Pharaoh's Lighthouse at Alexandria, Colossus of Rhodes.
I like the Colossus of Rhodes best.
Even though...
Yeah, no, we won't say that to the people, but you told me about him.
Yes.
He should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah. The statue should be ashamed of himself.
Okay, himself. Anything else you want to talk about? Hey, what do you think of God?
Of what?
God. Jesus.
What do you mean?
Do you like him?
Yeah, of course.
Why do you like him?
Because he saved us all.
I like that word. You're good.
He saved us all. We should give him glory for that. He saved our lives.
Well, I think I'm going to end our little interview with that. I can't think of any better way to end it. Except sing me one last stanza of Yippee-Yay-Yay-Yay-Yay. Ki-Yay-Yippee-Yay. Is that how it goes?
No, it goes, Kamataya Yippee-Yippee-Yay, Yippee-Yay, Kamataya Yippee-Yippee-Yay.
Say it louder in the mic. Kamataya Yippee-Yippee-Yay.
Kamatai, yippee.
Okay, sing it, and we're going to close out.
Okay.
Stir up some ropes by my side. Show me a horse that I can ride.
Kamatai, yippee.
Kamatai,
to believe one of these days you're gonna be full grown with your own child on your knee. Just remember how much I loved you, all the times I hugged you, and I hope you still love Jesus when you get as old as me. Some things you never outgrow, some things you toss aside, some things you just lose interest in, some things you go with your life. Just remember what I taught you. Do the things you ought to. Don't ever let the devil sink out you when you get as old as me. As you love yourself, and I as old as me.
You're listening to a show called Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning. The title of this episode is The Trip to Venturnox. We're talking about a family annual celebration that my friends Carl and Leslie Simsrott have with all of their children and grandchildren every winter. This year, six of their seven children and their families attended, and my wife Trish and I were honorary guests. We had just a wonderful time together. I found out that this idea for a winter family celebration originated with their daughter-in-law and their oldest son. As they began to talk together, a few ideas began to gel, and the family agreed with this whole idea. They wanted it to be a winter celebration because they did not get together during Christmas time. So it needed to be in the winter. They also wanted it to have a German theme, since Simsrott is a German family and heritage. They decided to exchange gifts, have great food, and games, fellowship. They also wanted it to have a music emphasis, especially on the first night of their weekend celebration. I had a talk with their daughter-in-law and son, Cassidy and Ty Simsrott.
We have a German hymn that we sing every year, which...
Is it Mighty Fortress is Our God?
It is not.
That's a German hymn.
It is...
So is A Lay in a Manger.
It's Der Mond ist aufgegangen, which means the moon is slowly rising. And it...
That's a hymn?
It's a hymn. It's actually a Christian hymn, but we found out about it from Bonhoeffer's biography.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
His large family, which felt similar to Ty's large German family, they, when they would go to the mountains in the summer, they would go out and sing this song in the moonlight. All the children knew it. And we were wondering what in the world this song was. So we looked it up. And of course, Hannah and I just learned it, because that's what we like to do.
Are you going
to
sing it tonight?
We are. And
with your other sister-in-law, right?
Yes, with Jenna, challenging.
So what's the translation of it?
There's a lot of verses. It's about the moon and how the moon only shows some of it, even though, like, you'll see half the moon, but it's actually a full round moon. So there are things that are unseen that we don't understand. And so just like there are things unseen in this world that we don't understand, we often laugh at people who say there are things that are out there that you can't see, but it's the truth. So that's kind of where the moon comes into it being
what a song for Bonhoeffer to sing, knowing his life.
I know. It's so beautiful to imagine all the children. You know, you've seen pictures of the Bonhoeffer kids.
Der Mond ist aufgegangen.
Thank you.
So we do that. And then another idea that the Simsrats had that they contributed to this was they wanted it to be a music-focused holiday. So they used to try to write original music and everyone record a part. So everyone was coming into the recording room and doing a different track, which was fun. And some people like me got to do percussion. But
which runs in the family.
Well, that's true. But it was we got to like clink chains together. Anyway, we all got a part. That was the point.
Okay.
But so now, though, people share songs that they've been practicing. And sometimes we have poetry as well now. So that's something that's continued through. That's been a theme through Winternacht, which is good.
If I was on some foggy mountain top, I'd sail away to the west. I'd sail all around this old wide world to the boy I love the best. If I had listened when Mama said, I would
then it was Carl and my turn to do a song together by request. This was an old song that we used to do many times in the peak of the Jesus movement called Jesus, You've Been So Real. It was on an upright piano, which was out of tune, which reminded me of 98% of the pianos that we played back then. It took us way back. I took a roving mic around the various Simsrott children that night and asked them what meant the most to them about the legacy of being a Simsrott. Carl and Leslie's oldest son, Ty, seemed to summarize it best.
It's a tough thing to define, but I think it's just a way of operation, to be honest. It's the way that we stay together. It's the way that we interact when we're in these kinds of holidays. It's the way we'll help each other when somebody needs help. And coming all the way from my grandparents, just the way that we serve God. It translates. It gives you a something that you feel like your feet are solid on.
Yeah.
And it just carries and seems to carry generation to generation.
On Sunday after a late brunch, I was asked by Carl and Leslie to share my observations of the Simstrup family over the last 50 years. I wanted the grandkids to know a little bit about the spiritual legacy of the family, that if all Winternacht was is just food and music and fun, we've missed the most important component. The Simstrots have a history going back five generations of being God chasers. They saw the beauty of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that was the guiding force about how they order their lives, even Carl and Leslie's life. I wanted to make it clear that we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about even church. We're certainly not talking about people and hypocrites. And that's one of the great snares. We get our minds off of the person of Jesus onto these other things. But Carl's great-grandparents, his grandparents, his parents, Carl saw something so real that it was worth chasing and worth giving everything to have this close friendship with Christ. And that's the most important legacy that the Simstrups ever passed down. That's the foundation that everything else was built upon. On Monday, after the end of the weekend festivities, I sat down for a conversation with Carl and Leslie about their family and about the legacy of the Simstrups. My grandson came here with me. I was doing a record near here, and he helped me drive up here, and he said, this is... He didn't mean it in a bad way, but he said, this is really a strange family because it's really incredible when you come here and you all get together. Your kids truly love each other. They truly enjoy being together, more so than most. I would say probably, is this right, that most of them are each other's best friend?
Pretty much. I think that that was part of our motivation for homeschooling and just kind of living more rural, is it was a goal of mine that our children were each other's friends. And so if they have a lot of other friends in school, then they tend to put all their focus on that. But, you know, it wasn't all the friends they had, but they'd spent a lot of time together. And I think that with a lot of encouragement and, you know, it just kind of happened that way. Yeah.
And we try to get them to focus not just on other kids and even in our own family that were very close to their age, but taught the older ones how to get down on the floor and play with the small ones. And then, of course, the smaller kids were able to see what the bigger kids were doing, and it helped them in the learning process to mature.
Okay, so Trish and I came up here this weekend. This was the first time she had ever seen all of your kids together. I'd seen them more often, but to spend 2 days with them was just really moving to me to see the love that the kids and the grandkids, and you're right, you could see larger kids playing with the babies and little kids and and having real interaction with their aunts and uncles. It was really incredible to me. Carl, I know a little bit about your family. Your grandfather, Simstrup, was a minister.
Yes.
And I forget the story, but he had fought the call to become a pastor and had gotten sick, right?
Yes.
Very sick.
Very sick, like
near death.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much his family had assumed that he was just going to die because he was just down to skin and bones. My grandfather's mother, who would have been my great-grandmother, she prayed for his healing, and she was a woman who was very bold in her faith, and she was not timid about praying to a God who answers prayer that she had experienced many times. So there was no timidity on her part to ask God for incredible things. And so she prayed and asked God that if he would heal her son, and if God would do that, that he would, she would dedicate him to the ministry, praying that God would use him in ministry in some way.
And he was a grown man, right?
He was. And what had happened is he had, someone had killed a rabbit and they had made a stew out of it. And he had eaten that and had gotten what they called at the time rabbit fever. And it so racked his body that he just began to lose weight, became bedfast, and was just down to skin and bones.
Okay. And did God confront him with a call he was fighting?
Well, I don't really remember the details of that, exactly what God had. I don't know if he had also prayed that if God would heal him. It seems like that was what happened. He prayed that God, if God would heal him, that he would devote his life to God.
And so God healed him. And
he did.
He became a pastor.
He did.
For how many years? A long time, right?
Yeah. I don't know exactly the years, but he started a church in southern Ohio down by Cincinnati. And he pastored there for many, many years, probably 25 years.
Yeah. Now, we got to talk about the legacy of the Simshot. Was it his mother? You got to tell this story, incredible story, about a chicken.
Yeah.
Was that his mother?
It was. The same mother that prayed for his healing. As I said, she was bold in her ability to ask God for things.
And people vow that this happened. I mean, I remember your mother, your father, people know that it happened because they witnessed.
Yeah.
They always said that Grandma Dunn had the gift of healing.
Uh-huh.
That it was a gift. And they believed that she...
Well, tell them about her chicken.
So they had chickens on their small farm, and they were very, very poor. So they depended on these chickens for their supply of food, not only of the meat, but mostly the eggs even. And she had one chicken who was very prolific with eggs, laid like twice as many eggs as the rest of her chickens. So it became her favorite chicken, obviously. So one day the chicken had gotten out into the road and was hit by a car and was mangled pretty bad. And the family assumed dead. And she went out and grabbed the chicken, and the entrails and everything of the chicken were even outside its body. And she pushed them back in the body, grabbed the chicken, ran in the house, sewed the chicken up, and asked God to heal her prized chicken. And that night, the chicken laid another egg and continued to lay eggs.
That very night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people say that this is weird, but everybody vouches that
it happened. And she said, Lord, you know how important this chicken is to feed our family. You know, it was just like, please heal it so that it keeps laying eggs for our family because they depended on it so much.
Our prayer at this point is that legacy would continue to carry on for many generations and not just be a remnant that carries on, but multiply and carry on.
Absolutely. Alessa, you didn't come from this kind of a background.
No.
You were, like they say, grafted in. You became a huge part of this family. And I know Carl's mom and dad loved you just as great as they loved any son of theirs. Mm-hmm. You didn't have any sisters. It was all boys, four boys. But I know that they loved you. Mm-hmm. You were certainly not a second-class family member. But you were going to tell me about what you've learned from all this.
Yeah. Well, my family, of course, was not Christian and just very dysfunctional. And so when I first met Carl and his family, it was just like a beacon of light, you know, just to see the godliness and the love of God, and honestly how his parents just, I felt like an adopted daughter before I was a daughter by marriage, and for several years before we were even married. So they were just a real gift in just displaying so well what a godly marriage looked like. And, you know, it was always so evident of their love of God and how it just affected every avenue of their life and how they interacted with everyone that they came in contact with. And so they were just such an inspiration to me. And I can remember thinking and praying when I first met them, I just thought, oh, I just want to be like them. It was just so impressive. And and then even after we were married, just to walk with them and have them be a part of our lives, and it was just a gift that I just never will be, I'm sure, thankful enough for. But I do feel very thankful for it. And just felt like in a lot of ways, it was just like God, you know, just really saving my life in another way and just giving me good mentors to follow and to try to pattern my life after.
I think you told me that you purposed in your heart that you would be the kind of dad that took a lot of time out with the kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how did you, so that the sock fights is part of that, right?
Yeah, just one of many things, but it seemed to be a highlight for all the kids. I didn't realize really that it was that impactful to them, but apparently it was. But basically we had a very open floor plan in our 2,000 square foot house. And so a lot of the times when we would have these sock wars, it would take place when Leslie was gone, because she would not know what to do with herself and was anxious about rearranging the house totally, turning the house into a giant fortress for us to fight.
Who's going to get hurt and what's going to get broken?
So anyway, we would just take all the socks in all of our drawers. And of course, with that many kids, there's tons of socks, and just make little softballs out of them, roll them up, and build a fort, and then make up rules. And they just start throwing socks at each other. And we had, you know, a game plan, and we would do this until we were so tired we had to quit.
But you divided the group into teams, right?
Yeah, we'd divide up into teams, and then we would trade off. So, you know, there was no particular team dominating the other one on a consistent basis.
Every single kid.
Everybody was involved.
Yeah, but every single kid, now they're all grown, they look back and they say, one of our greatest memories was sock fights. And that was by design, too. You did that. And you guys just done a great job of knitting your kids together. And I wanted the kids to know that this was a God thing. It wasn't just just some fluke that happened. What have you learned that you think you would pass down to any advice or wisdom you'd want to pass down to whoever's listening?
Well, I think what I would want to say is that sometimes you just don't know what things that you're going to do with your children that are going to stick in their memories, that are going to be impactful to them. And while we did a lot of family things that the kids had a lot of fun, like the sock fights that really impacted them, you know, if there was a deficit on our part, and I'm sure there were many, it would be that we didn't include as many spiritual events in our family that impacted them for Christ in the same way that we impacted them just having fun. And that's not to say that there wasn't anything, but I wish there were more of that. So I would encourage young families to think about spending time with your kids, making memories, but be sure not to neglect the spiritual component in all of that.
Right. Leslie?
Yeah. Just living life with them. You know, I can remember a lot of my childhood and stuff like that. I was just kind of out there on my own. And, you know, even having siblings, not really having life together. And that was really important. That was really important to me. And so just whether you're schooling, whether you're playing, just making sure that as much of it is a family effort and event as, you know, just everybody going off on their own and playing with their friends and, you know, meeting each other at the dinner table at night and maybe watching a movie. You know, it was just a thing of really encouraging relationship with each other. And, you know, I can remember telling my children when they were small, because I didn't have that with my sisters and my brother. And I felt the sadness of that. And I said, in the times when I could see that they were tempted to just want to just spend time with their friends, I would just sit them down and say, you know, you'll be really sad one day if you neglect these friendships, because these are your friends for life. These are your people for life. Your friends are going to come and go, but you have to really prioritize these relationships. And not perfectly, but did try to really instill that idea in them. And at times, you know, you wonder if it's taken, but I guess that we can see now, because of the relationships that the kids do have with one another, that they did take it to heart and they did work on it, not always perfectly, but, and it's just, it's very fruitful and just so enjoyable.
Thanks for going with us on a trip to Venternacht with the stupendous Simsrots from Spencer, Indiana. I started this show off with an old song I had written many years ago called Thank God for Friends, and I do truly thank God for my friends, the Simsrots. We were inspired from our time Saturday night singing that old fisherman song, and so Monday, before Trisha and I left on Tuesday to return, we went down to the studio where I had recorded my last three albums, and we recorded this song. So here it is as we close this episode. God bless. Just the right time.
And sometimes I sit and I wonder, tell me, where would I be right now if you didn't come along when you did? I want to thank you. Thank you for loving me. I know I'll never understand everything there is to know about your love, your mercy on a wretch like. Oh, you've been so real to me, and you've been so loving, so kind. I thank you, you came at just the right time. And sometimes I sit and I wonder, tell me, where would I be right now if you didn't come along when you did? I want to thank you today. I thank you for loving me. Just for loving me.